It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wednesday on the Horn, B&E with you, rolling on final hour on this 18th of January, which, as we found out earlier, is National Thesaurus Day. The first thesaurus was published this day, 18-something or other. And a good word out of the thesaurus book, nostalgic.
Ooh,
nostalgic.
Yeah.
And this all this conversation this week making me this, is there anything better than Niners-Cowboys? Like, you know, in the history of football, it's up there as far as the greatest playoff moments and rivalries. We're talking about the catch.
Packers-Bears.
When are the Bears in the playoffs? I'm talking about playoff moments. I'm talking about like big playoff moments.
I'm talking
moments.
About before Ty was born, before we were born.
Oh, you're going way back to like Lombardi. Papa Bear.
Papa Bear.
I'm just saying in my lifetime, I'm 50. I mean, just the significant playoff games played between the Cowboys and the Niners, including last year when the Niners went into Dallas and beat the Cowboys. That one, but you think of the catch, you think of 30 years ago, and how about them Cowboys, and the really when the Cowboys announced that they're going to go win 3 out of 4 Super Bowls, and now here we are. Winner of this game very well could find their way to the Super Bowl. I think these are two really good teams. Unfortunate the Cowboys have, you know, coming off a short week and 2 days advantage for the Niners, but that's the way it goes. Go beat them if you're the Dallas Cowboys. So nostalgic today in those conversations. Also watching some good basketball last night, Buck Longhorns game. Well, it was not much fun to watch in the second half. Longhorns got off to a great start. First 10 minutes were all theirs. The last 30 were all Iowa State, and they win it by 11. But the game that was Kansas and Kansas State, that was a great basketball game. And, you know, but at the start of the year, Bill Self made the declaration, who I think is maybe the best college basketball coach in America. He said, Jalen Wilson, the kid out of Denton, has to be an All-American if they're going to reach their ceiling. And, man, you see him last night?
Who was the dude they had last year that was so good that went off to Indiana? Agbaji?
Yep.
Yeah. Ochai Agbaji.
He's on the Jazz now.
Yeah. But man,
is he
this
good? Has he having a good year?
He gets minutes, yeah.
This Jalen Wilson, 6'8", 225, the perfect size. He's built like an NBA player. And he went off last night. And 38 points, 9 rebounds. I mean, he was carrying his team. And then, you know, they got to the overtime and they had 3 significant players foul out. Including the kid from Westlake here for Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And as we talked about, the video is so funny. Jalen Wilson, with about 40 seconds to go, you know, stepped into a 3 from the top of the key and knocked it down. I mean, it was Swish City, and it would have put them up 4 points. And Bill Self, while he's about to release the ball, is calling a timeout from the sideline, so it didn't count. And Jalen Wilson just looked over at Bill Self like, really? You called it? I mean,
come on, coach.
Yeah, and then they come out of the timeout with a play that got him a 3 that was not nearly as good. He missed it, and that's when K-State went the other way and got the alley-oop dunk and slam-a-jamma, and that was your ball game. They played great defense on the final possession for Kansas, and that was a great game. It was a great game. But that's, you know, the Longhorns will see Kansas twice, and that's the name to watch is Jalen Wilson. He is really, really good. I think you had 3 Big 12 Player of the Year candidates shining in that game. Because Keontae Johnson, the Florida transfer, had 24 and had the game-winning alley-oop dunk. Marquise Noel, the point guard for K-State, and Jalen Wilson. Those are, you know, those are 3 first-team All-Big 12 players.
Kansas has some dudes.
They do. Well, and this is what this is about. This is your best players playing big. And for Texas, you know, their best player is Marcus Carr, and he didn't play great last night. He only scored 11 points. And, you know, Kalshur and the other guys for Iowa State were a little bit better. That's what Texas needs to go steal a road win. You need an All-American caliber player to go play high-level basketball. And Longhorns really everybody they needed to be big last night really wasn't. Timmy Allen was just 9. Marcus was 11. Tyrese Hunter scored 10 quick points but then didn't score again. It looked early in the first 10 minutes like Tyrese Hunter was going to do just what we talked about, break out of his slump. He had 10 points in the first 10 minutes. He had two threes and had an and one where he missed the foul shot. Then he didn't score again. The last 30 minutes, he didn't score a point, but got to get him going.
Yeah, as I said, and Timmy Allen's got to be in the high teens for them offensively too. I mean, he really does. I mean, that 9 points, 9 points for as many minutes as he played last night, that's not good enough.
Not good enough.
No.
Not good enough for any of them. But that's life on the road in the Big 12. You're going to have some nights like that. You just can't let them compound. And as Jerry Hamilton said last hour, I agree with him. Got to go beat West Virginia. You can't
lose to West Virginia.
And as we know, this is the only week of the year where they have two road games in 1 week in the Big 12.
And you're not going to get any calls there either,
no.
By the way.
No. That, poor Dylan Mitchell, that was such a bad no call. Shame on the refs for not – that just not only was it not a foul, it wasn't even called a flagrant. It should have been. Dangerous play. Dirty play. It says, the 49ers-Cowboy things that I'm most sour over is them jumping over the Cowboys to pick Jerry Rice. How about that? Didn't know that happened. They traded ahead to take Jerry Rice from the Cowboys. Ooh.
Wow.
By the way, Jerry Rice turned out to be a pretty good player.
Not bad.
Not bad. Maybe the greatest. He's up there in the top three or four greatest football player of all time, Jerry Rice.
Yes. Not just wide receivers, but players.
This is Perry Ellis still on Kansas. Perry Ellis, the clothes designer?
No, Perry Ellis, the guy who played there for like with the bald head.
You like going to the Perry Ellis Outlet Mall at the
Absolutely.
San Marcos.
I'm a Perry Ellis guy, yes. But not that Perry Ellis. Perry Ellis played like for them for like 17 years at Kansas.
He looked like old, too.
Didn't he look old? Yeah. No, he's gone now.
Was that his name?
Perry Ellis III.
That's right. I do remember that now. That's funny. All right. So somebody says the Bears and Packers did play in the 2011 NFC Championship game. Bears-Packers. I don't know. When I think of amazing playoff moments, there's just so many in my head, I think for most of us, that are Cowboys 49ers. I mean, the catch is maybe the greatest playoff moment ever. With Dwight Clark in the back of the end zone. And Cowboys Niners have played some battles, and they're going to have a good one on Sunday. Last game of divisional playoff weekend. We'll preview all week long, getting you there. Can we do a flex segment? Let's dive in, because we can take your thoughts on this, because it's all about the flex. You know that on this day and every day here on B&E.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the horn and go to FLXATX.com. Flex 30 is brought to you by Brain Vault. Brain Vault is a revolutionary and patented mouth guard that has been proven to help reduce the risk of concussion. Visit BrainVault.com and join the movement.
Join that movement. And T.Y., there's in our area, a new head coaching hire, right? Over Pflugerville Weiss?
Yeah, I know it's the offense coordinator there. His name is escaping me, but Weiss Wolves got a new football coach.
Promotion.
Their coach had been there for a little bit of time.
Vernon Hughes has been named the head football coach at Weiss.
Congrats.
So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll be following him into next season for sure. We're also following the high school basketball about Lake Travis. Lake Travis boys with the win over Westlake last night, 43-42. Defensive struggle. Victory for Lake Travis in that spot. 17 straight losses. Lake Travis finally solved the Shaps by a point in a low-scoring defensive battle, 43-42.
They had to win eventually, right?
That's how that works out.
Coach Lucero, they lost the district winning streak, and now they've lost to Lake Travis. So
yeah,
beaten
I got to go over there
straight.
And talk to Coach.
They need your talk.
Yeah, I need to go talk to him.
They need your chat. All right, but our flex segment is about this guy up in Dallas at Rowlett. Rowlett, why do I say Rowlett? What is the Rockwall? Rockwall Heath High School.
Mm-hmm.
John Harrell. He is on leave. Now, here it is. You are 67. I'm 50.
Yeah.
I read this story and thought, oh, man, this guy's going to be in trouble. Ty saw this. He's 25 and was recently playing high school football and said, wait a second. 40 push-ups in an hour.
400.
Or 440. 400 push-ups in less than an hour. That's not – you said you guys used to do that all the time at Westlake.
Yeah, it's part of an auxiliary workout, you know?
So, Child Protective Services is now investigating this high school coach. And here's the issue. 8 players, after the rigorous workout, and this is them coming back from Christmas break. Let's also add that. That was the Monday when they got back from... They've been at Mama's for 2 weeks, eating chicken wings.
Absolutely.
And celebrating Christmas and the New Year. So, this was January the 6th. And at least 8 players had to go to the hospital. Two players spent several days in the hospital with symptoms including dark urine and an inability to lift their arms.
Well, wait till they get to be 68. You think they had dark urine then? Now,
you have dark urine?
No, I'm good.
One parent said, when my son said his wrist was hurting, one of the coaches said to him, your wrist should be healed by now. Keep going.
Yeah, your wrist is going to get sore. That's part of it.
Dude, come on.
Do that many push-ups.
All these tough guy acts. I love we have the text line light up about everybody being soft.
Hey, I'm with the texters on this one.
Really?
I mean, I wasn't there. None of us were there. But my initial reaction is, I mean, I definitely have done that before or similar things.
No, have you done that and or it feels, similar things?
And if you don't drink enough water, your pee is going to be really dark, and you're probably going to cramp up no matter
and
what.
And their deal was, and they couldn't drink any water. They didn't have
is that confirmed?
So you're saying they shouldn't have gone to the hospital?
Sucked it up. I felt like I probably should go to the hospital before, but that's just your body. You got to break through that mentality.
Break through the wall.
But eight of them went to the hospital. They went
and
to the hospital.
And two were hospitalized for multiple days.
Would they have died if they didn't go?
Would they have died if they... This is our criteria now?
We're talking about somebody's child. We're not talking about somebody... This is not somebody's pet that ate,
well, this is why
ate
I,
a ham I, sandwich instead of a dog bone.
This is why I'm not a football
bone.
Coach or a high school football coach. Yeah. I'd push my guys through that wall. You got to break through. It's SEAL training.
It's football.
It's football.
High school football.
Yeah, it's not
January.
SEAL training.
It means more here.
You don't have a game for 8 months.
It means more here in the state, I guess.
Now, the captain of the team is a guy named Brady Luff, who came to the defense of his coach like Ty is and said, our motto, it's the number 16. 16 ball games to win a championship. We do these workouts. It's all about discipline. If we get them right, we move on. If not, we do 16 push-ups.
So that's exactly what we did.
Is that
if
right?
If you messed up, you had to restart. Like, it didn't matter what number you were on.
All right, so one, just do 400 push-ups. They were doing other ancillary drills, and then if they weren't doing them properly, then they had to drop and do 16 push-ups. And then the 16 added up to almost 400.
Well, their team's going to suck because if they got to 400, their team ain't doing anything right. Coach, you got more problems
that's a lot
than
of
that you think.
Yeah, you got to be more on point there,
yeah,
Coach.
Come on now. Some of it is coaching, isn't it?
Attitude reflects leadership, I would think, at some point.
Really?
I mean, you can have that rule, but there you go, Ty. Because that's what I was thinking, that I'm assuming this whole idea, what he's doing is not a lot different than what other high school programs do. And why did eight players end up in the hospital becomes a very, very fair question. Rockwall Heath has put him on leave, and now Child Protective Services is investigating the coach. He has been with the program. He's only been the head coach 1 year, but he's been with the program since 2019.
Oh, here comes a newbie trying to show his power. Here we go.
I mean, he's gone no matter what, right? He's already been fired.
He's on leave.
Okay.
I mean, you know what that means.
While the school investigates.
You know how leave goes once you get investigated. Bye. Bye, Felicia.
Bye. Well, it's, you know, if you're the coach, I would just say this. If you're the coach and eight of your players end up in the hospital, you've got to be accountable to that without a doubt. I mean, you can't. One thing to say what Ty is saying, that no, that's how we build toughness. But at the same time, if eight players had to go to the hospital and two of them had to stay there for a few days.
This doesn't sound like this is the first time that, you know, if this is their motto to do 16 push-ups every time they mess up, you know, that's expected. Someone said that they might have been drinking and was out the night before or over winter break.
It still doesn't mean you send them to the hospital.
I mean, the coach definitely has is a big factor in this situation.
Yes.
But
yes,
I think there's a lot of other, you know, things going on here that – made these kids go to the hospital.
Well, that's the thing. I'm sure the coaches told them, hey, look, don't be getting too comfortable when you come back. But I would say it's January 6th. You don't have a game until October. I know winter workouts, the conditioning, the discipline,
sure. All
that is the foundation on which you build a championship program on. But come on, the Monday when you get back from Christmas break.
That's when you weed out the week. That's always the hardest workout.
Eight go to the hospital. You're going to be in trouble.
No, we do 50-40 is the first day back usually. That was our big thing that we did was, can you run 50-40s just in a row?
Oh, 50-40s. And as you said, there were moments where you felt like you probably needed to go to the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dizzy, throwing up. But eventually you get that runner's high or that workout high once you break through it. And especially after, it usually feels so good.
Well, the coach didn't investigate what this could do to you. That's a part of his job as an administrator at a high school.
Someone probably should have stopped what was going on.
Yeah, or just said, this is what can happen to these players doing this many of that. Hey, coach. Hey, trainer.
Somebody said that's only 6.5 push-ups a minute. Well, if you're doing those push-ups because you're doing other drills and you're not doing them properly until you drop and give me 16 over and over again on top of the other exertion you're doing. And several people have pointed out that rhabdomyolysis is a potential problem that they were dealing with, because that's the destruction of muscle cells. And rhabdomyolysis, Buck, is a massive muscular breakdown that caused kidney failure and even death, mostly in older people, but teenagers. So that's the story. We'll see where that goes. Probably not going to survive that. And there's a fine line there, Buck, between building a disciplined, you know, well-oiled foundation of a championship team. And at the same time, these are high school kids. I mean, several of them are sophomores. They're like 15 years old. So, and they're out to play high school football, and they don't want to end up in the hospital. I get Ty's point. I know the soft label will be given, but at the same time.
Of course. But, I mean, there's enough stuff in football that's tough. Tough enough, you know?
It's a tough game.
As you said, it's January.
Weed out
it's
the
December.
Week.
Really?
It says Ty's on air giving out Westlake trade secrets. What you doing?
Hey, championship football is played 365 days a year.
Okay. Yeah. You're right. You're right about that. Same time, 8 in the hospital, 2 for multiple days. That's problematic for the coach.
Yeah, there's something in that that you should know about that could happen, the possibilities that happen to your guys if you do that. Or are you just a gym teacher that decided, okay, I'll do this. Let's see how it works out. Some guys will be a little hurt. Well, some guys are more than just a little hurt.
Yeah, you know? I guarantee you he was not doing this to hurt anybody.
No, that's true.
No, he was doing that to teach a lesson. Hey, here's a lesson.
And I think that what Ty is saying exactly what the coach said. Championships are won 365
days. Just teach him a lesson, that's all.
We want to win a championship. Yeah, rhabdo. It sounds like rhabdo. That's the shortened version of what I mentioned. I was instructor for Police Academy. We did similar workouts. Yeah, again, that's militaristic stuff. That's boot camp stuff. And those are adults. These are 14, 15, 16-year-old kids that are playing high school football. But weed out the week, as Ty says. We'll take your thoughts on that for sure, because it'll be a story to follow. And I'm sure all other coaches are watching that going, wait a second. Because we had the other story of the Division III basketball team in Chicago, Concordia College in Chicago. They had the same thing. They had missed a curfew. They had several players on the team missed curfew, and they're in their season. So apparently the coach went crazy, and they did all these drills, and five of them ended up in the hospital.
Yeah, see what happened to Ricky Williams when I made him just run the stadium steps and then go to breakfast with me? See what happened? See what kind of guy he turned out to be?
Well, he was pretty talented to begin with, but you're right. You and Ricky. He was supposed to run all the stadium stairs. You let him cut it in half, and you guys went to Trudy.
Oh, no, he ran what he had to run. He ran the stadium steps.
Did you get some breakfast tacos or
what?
Did you give him a present after, too?
Oh, no, no, just went over. He just drove the car.
Ricky seems like the kind of guy that, like, if his siblings were having a birthday, like, he would need to kind of get a present, too.
No, not that guy.
Ricky would want to be at the party and bring a present.
Yeah, I'm bringing the present. Yeah. He'd bring the present for sure.
Ricky's a big kid, but he loves to compete.
But he had to have his breakfast because that wore him out. The stadium steps.
No, I mean, the great Ricky Williams
story.
He'd
do that in like 15 minutes. And I mean, all of the whole stadium. And he'd be done. Okay, you know, I got a class here soon. What are we going to do? I said, we're about to get in your BMW. The SUV, and we're going to breakfast at Trudy's. By the way,
Ricky was playing baseball at the time.
Yeah, got Philly money.
He was NIL deal before NIL.
Didn't have to worry about buying him breakfast.
But the great part
he had
about
his money.
Ricky Williams' stories, he's playing football. Think about this. He's playing football with the Longhorns, but he's at your house.
Sundays?
Playing on Sundays with your kids playing football in the street.
And then
on the concrete, running into cars.
And then he'd come back to the training room, and he didn't have anything wrong from the game on Saturday. But he'd come back on Sunday afternoon, you know, when the team would come back, and the trainers would go, well, where did you get this from? I mean, big
Bucky
abrasions
street.
On his arm. Oh, the street. Oh, the car that you ran into, knocking the kids knocking the kids into the grass.
And he didn't take it easy on your kids.
You didn't get to score touchdowns off of Ricky. He would drag you by your collar through the streets before you score a touchdown on.
So this was tackle football?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, it was supposed to be tagged, but
you
got
how it goes, you fall down.
Two-hand touch.
There's got to be an out-of-bounds, and generally it was somebody's car that you hear bang.
Alarm goes off.
Oh, yeah.
And then even when he was done with football, Ricky would always have a softball glove in his trunk. He'd always stop at Craig Field, end up in a softball game. That dude just loved to play and compete. All right, there's some flex thoughts. What say you? This says mental toughness is part of winning. Soft like Charmin. Says my buddy's son is in that program. He said the weak kids that couldn't make it, his kid did it. And then when he got home, he's been lifting for a while, though. Yeah, I mean, the coach has to be I agree. It's the fine line. You have to know which kids can handle it, which kids can't. You can't put eight kids in a hospital.
No.
End of the story. End of the story. Eight kids can't go to the hospital. Sorry. Whether they should or shouldn't have, several of them ended up staying there for multiple days.
Dude, I think I've
got admitted.
The craziest stuff I've ever seen in all of those sports things were at my high school, what they did. You know, my high school, we didn't have track. We had wrestling, and wrestling was big in Pennsylvania. And they'd go into that hot mat room.
Oh.
And I was thinking, dude, I went in there for one of their workers. I said, I'm not coming back in here ever again.
If you played D-line or O-line at Westlake, they made you be on the wrestling team, but meets, just to go to practice. And they would run around that room for like 45 minutes just to start practice and end it. Just
another trade secret you're giving out.
First round, I've always
put them on the wrestling team.
I didn't want any other guy's forearm in my crotch. And lifting up hard. I mean, I was like, no.
They had to make weight, too.
Plus, it's hot in here.
We'll be back.
Having to make weight.
You know what day it is? It's already Wednesday. That means Tom Gimbel, live music update from Austin City Limits Television. Your right live music roadmap for the week and weekend in and around your football watching and basketball. We got live music in the live music capital of the world coming next.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Appreciate all the thoughts on the high school football front and the football coach up there at Rockwall Heath High School. Also, Longhorn fans really frustrated with the Longhorn basketball game last night, but also the Big 12 officials, as we've been talking about since 6 a.m. Not sure. I mean, the Dylan Mitchell undercut was not only a dirty play, should have been a flagrant foul and could have been an injuring type play. Not only did the Big 12 official who was standing there not even call it, didn't even stop play. The kid who undercut him went down and knocked down a three in one of the game-changing moments when the Longhorns were up eight at the time. Just a really, obviously Longhorn fans feel like the Big 12's got it in for them anyhow with all the no calls during the football season. That was egregious last night. And Dylan Mitchell, let's hope he's okay. Didn't play much in the second half after going down hard. It was a defensive rebound for Iowa State if you didn't see it. And kid undercut Dylan Mitchell was going up to try to, poke the ball and just completely wiped out his legs. And as we said, at the YMCA, that would have been a fight on the playground. And Longhorns ended up giving up a three-pointer. And I'm sure that I'm assuming Rodney Terry and the Longhorns will be sending that video to the league office and demanding some answers on that front, because there was an official staring at the whole play and did not call it. Hey, let's go to the Vaqueros hotline. We know it's Wednesday, bottom of the 9 o'clock hour. That means it's time to find out the live music roadmap in the live music capital of the world with the general manager of the iconic Austin City Limits television show, our friend Tom Gimbel. And it's not just any Wednesday, Tom. It's Hi, How Are You Week Wednesday. I know you're excited about what's coming up.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
I am. It's always exciting to have the Hi, How Are You Day concert. And, last year we couldn't do it on Daniel's birthday. We moved it to May, and it felt a little off. It just feels right doing it on January 22nd, which is Daniel Johnson's birthday. And this year we're going to be at Emo's. We're really making an effort to reach young people. And if you're a parent of a young person, I really encourage you to check out some of the resources that we have at HiHowAreYou.org. The ages of 14 to 24 are so critical in mental health development. And it's a time where a lot of people might first experience anxiety or depression or things like that. So we really want to be there to be able to provide education and resources for young people to be proactive in their mental wellness, to do the things that really help you overcome or avoid going into anxiety and depression. So that's what we're going to be celebrating on Sunday. We've got a concert at Emo's with two incredible artists, a neo soul and R&B artist named Umi is going to be performing, and also a Mexican-American singer named Danny Lukes. And just to tell you the quality of the lineup, both of these artists are confirmed to play at Coachella.
Oh, wow.
So these are big national acts that, our mental health advocates. Umi actually does, during her set, she does some meditation and some breath work with the audience. It's a really cool experience. It's incredible, E, how far we've come. You know, we started this thing 6 years ago, and it was really about removing the stigma around mental health conversations. And you look at what athletes have done over the last 6 years, whether it's Kevin Love or whoever it might be, who's been very outspoken in, you know, this is something that I deal with. Lane Johnson stepping away from the Eagles, you know, Michael Phelps being very open. And so what's happened over the last few years, I think, is this conversation has come into the light, which is wonderful. The negative is there's still a lot of work to be done because there's 15 million kids right now in need of therapy from a mental health professional, and there's simply not enough mental health professionals to go around. So that's why peer-to-peer conversations and these happy habits that we teach are so important. And another thing that I'll mention, American Campus Communities, which is a company based right here mm-hmm. in Austin. You know, when I went to UT, I lived at Dobie, and Dobie was where American Campus Communities got started. If you've been at the Castilian, that's American Campus Communities. So they have helped us across the country create something called the College Student Mental Wellness Advocacy Coalition. And this is 24 student housing companies around the country reaching 850,000 kids with training and awareness. And we are releasing the findings of a survey that we just did. We reached 20,000 college students, the largest survey ever of its kind. And we're calling it the Thriving College Student Index. And we're seeing, you know, what are your stress levels? What are your happiness levels? A really cool thing is 92% of college students really see mental health as an important part of their overall well-being. And another thing that we're happy about, 81% say listening to music and socializing is something that they turn to for support. So going to a concert just isn't fun. You know, I call it happy medicine. You're out there, you're in community. I think that's why I love music so much. That's why I love sports so much. When you're out and you're in community and you're sharing an experience with somebody, that's not just fun. That's good for us. That's so we're really excited. I'm sure you can hear it in my voice. No. I'm excited about the concert, and I'm excited about the progress that we've made over the last few years.
Well, I know we need to get to the roadmap and the top shows of the weekend, but that event is on Sunday afternoon. Daniel Johnston inspired it, the Hi, How Are You Day, and Tom and his team there have done such a great job. And when you say you're really focusing on young people 14 to 24, it hits home, Tom, because I have three kids that are now young adults in that age bracket. And fortunately, our kids have done well, but so many of their friends, we've heard stories that are just, you know, kids through COVID and, you know, into college and all that's gone on the last 4 or 5 years, that is more and more prevalent. And I applaud you guys for your efforts and what you're doing on college campuses and taking the message of Daniel Johnston, who you managed for a long, long time, and taking it to the masses, especially in that age group, because it really is. Really, really necessary. So good for you. And we'll give it one more time the people the information there. But how else can they get out and see some live music, Tom? Start with how they can help and be a part of it Sunday. And then what are your favorite shows of the week?
Well, first thing I'll say is I would love to give away a pair of tickets.
Okay.
I should have told you this before the show. I'm not going to surprise you. But I would love to give away a pair of tickets. Maybe someone has some. This is a show for young people. You know, typically our audience here is probably not a Umi or Danny Lukes fan, but your kids are. These folks have like a million followers on TikTok and Instagram. These are so maybe someone could give a pair of tickets to their kids, and we could do that at the end of the show. But
cool.
The local music spotlight for the week, starting tonight at the Pershing, a club over on the east side of Austin, Jerron Marshall and the Collective. Jerron Marshall is a keyboard player and horn player for the Black Pumas. And
oh, cool.
He has toured the world with the Black Pumas, and they actually encouraged him to open for them in Europe and elsewhere. So Black Pumas kind of gave him the stage, and then he has seized the moment and released an album, and he's out touring on his own, headlining. Jerron Marshall and the Collective from right here in Austin, really talented keyboardist and musician. You can check him out at the Pershing. Ambrosia, I had, when I saw that they were coming to Central Texas, I just had to mention, I mean, these are one of the stalwarts of yacht rock, of soft rock. You think
right.
of those 70s songs, you know, How Much I Feel and Biggest Part of Me and You're the only woman. I mean, these guys are Yacht Rock, and they're fun, and it's amazing how Yacht Rock has kind of come back in vogue. But they're going to be at Brontex Theater in New Braunfels, Ambrosia, on Thursday night.
Cool.
You can check them out. Crumb Buns, they are a street punk hardcore band from here in Austin. Crumb Bums are going to be headlining Mohawk, playing the outdoor stage on Thursday night. So if you are a fan of that kind of skate punk sound, check out the Crumb Bums at Mohawk on Thursday. This is a band that's really getting a lot of buzz around town. I bet a lot of listeners already know about these guys. They're called Briscoe. And Briscoe is going to be performing at Antone's on Friday night. They formed at the University of Texas. They kind of draw their influence from folks like Neil Young and James Taylor and Carole King, Paul Simon, really good songwriters, good harmonies. I think Briscoe, if you're looking for who's the next one to break out of Austin and kind of go on to a national level, these are guys to watch. And they're going to be at Antone's on Friday night. At Emo's on Friday night, an artist out of Dublin, Ireland, goes by the name of Eden, and he is a alt-rock, kind of what they call dream pop, bedroom pop, Irish musician. Pretty cool. He's going to be at Emo's on Friday night if you're a fan of that sound. Another really good show is at the O4 Center, a great double bill with David Allen and Jimmy Dale Gilmore. So kind of a really cool singer-songwriter Americana double bill at the O4 Center. Dave Alvin and Jimmy Dale Gilmore together. Another good show on Saturday, Nick Mulvey. He's out of England. He was nominated for the Mercury Prize, which is, you know, kind of the best new artist of the year in the UK. And he is going to be at Empire Control Room, kind of alt folk, indie rock, if you like that kind of sound. And then, of course, on Sunday night, we mentioned Hi, How Are You Day at Emo's. You can go to hihowareyou.org or to the Emo's website. There are still tickets available. And we intentionally made it a very, very inexpensive ticket because we want a lot of folks to come out and enjoy that show. It's going to be live streamed globally, and we want to have a really big, enthusiastic audience there. So you can check that out at hihowareyou.org. And then our music week will wrap up with two good shows. A band called Pink Martini, which is kind of a jazz and traditional pop group, and they combine an orchestra, but they do their takes on popular hits. A very popular group is going to be at Paramount Theater. And then if you are a TikTok fan, you've probably come across a band called Duri, and they kind of started the band as a joke. It's a brother and sister from Minnesota. And they've just blown up on TikTok, and you can see them at 3:10 at ACL Live on Tuesday. So a pretty eclectic week of music, starting tonight with Jerron Marshall. You got Ambrosia. You've got Hi, How Are You Day. You've got some Brits coming over with Eden and Nick Mulvey, Austin's own Briscoe. Good week of live music, as always. But, you know, for me, I'm really excited about Sunday.
All right, Tom, we will give away a pair of those tickets before the top of the hour. We'll get a break and come back, and we'll let folks know how they can win those and give them to their tickets for the Emo's event Sunday night. HiHowAreYou.org is the website. Please support that and do what you can. Get your kids involved if you can, especially if they're in high school and into college. Could be a great opportunity to be around some live music and good people advocating for the right things. And appreciate you doing that, Tom. And have a great event this weekend. Awesome. Looking forward to it. And if my man Bob Ballou is out there, whenever you play golf with Bob Ballou, he's always got the Yacht Rock going. So maybe he wants to be at that Ambrosia show.
He's got to be at Ambrosia.
Oh,
absolutely.
He kills it with the iPod, with the Yacht Rock, so we got to have that for my man Bob Ballou. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thank you, E. I really appreciate it. Yeah, send me that name, and we'll get some folks some tickets to Hi, How Are You Day. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we do too. There you go. HiHowAreYou.org. We come back, we'll let you know how you could pick up a pair of tickets. If it's not for you, we give them to your kid. As Tom said, it's a very young audience, and that could be pretty cool. We'll have that when we come back. All of these shows, when you're out and about, live music and divisional playoff weekend, whatever you're doing, do it with an ice cold Bud Light, the number one selling light beer in the state of Texas, in this country, and all over the world. Whether it's sports, as Tom said, or watching live music, going to live sporting events, be safe and smart with it, but do it with the world's favorite light beer. It's an ice cold Bud Light.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Thank you to Tom Gimbel, as promised. If you would like to be or give your kids some tickets to Emo Sunday night for the Hi, How Are You event, caller 3 at 447-3776. We'll pick those up. We'll get the number to Tom and the name. So if you'd like to go to that show yourself or hand them off to a young person, your kids, let them know. Caller 3, Ty, at 447-3776. Busy Wednesday, obviously. Over the hump Wednesday already. Looking forward to the divisional playoffs and basketball. Longhorn fans fired up, Buck, about the no call on Dylan Mitchell last night. You know, Longhorn fans and Oklahoma fans are both, like, kind of, some would say, they, you know, it's the way it goes when you declare you're leaving a conference and you're not going to be in the conference anymore. You're going to deal with some of this. But that was egregious. We know the Longhorns played a game at Oklahoma State where they called 13 penalties on Texas and zero on Oklahoma State, which I don't think anybody's ever seen before in a football game. Like, okay, we may have had 13, but they had none. They had zero in a one-point or one-possession ball game. That seemed odd, and Oklahoma's had some gripes too. So you hope that's not the case.
Well, I don't know what was in the kid's mind. I know it was. I don't think he thought what the outcome of that was going to be. I know he should have been, as a basketball player knows, if you get hit in that spot, you can lose your balance, and you can really, really hurt yourself. But, I mean, when the guy went down, I mean, I would have stopped play. I wouldn't have kept on going. If I did that to somebody, I'm going to stop and then find out if the dude is okay. I'm not going to continue on like I didn't have any part in that. That he should have stopped right there, E.
Well, and the official,
I mean, he didn't get down at his
play.
Knee, but he got in his shoulder. He got down, his shoulder got into his thigh area where if he came down, he was coming down off balance. His feet weren't going to be under him.
Yeah. Well, and that, again, that's why I say dirty play. I mean, the guy's up in the air. You know, if you clip him like you did.
You've been around basketball enough to know
you
that.
You play a lot of basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a no-no. That's cardinal sin on the playground. You don't undercut people who are midair and have no way to grab anything. And that's Dylan Mitchell. He's a high flyer anyhow.
That's right.
And so for the kid, I mean, the young player, Cliff, or whatever his last name is, he had some big shots last night. Grill. The name's Grill. Well, if you can, it's one thing to say, was it intentional? Did he mean to do it? Whatever. It's got to be called. The official who's standing there on the baseline staring at it,
well, yeah, that
has to call the
absolutely.
Foul and stop the play. So not in addition to Texas, not, I mean, in real good officiating, that would have been a flagrant foul. Texas would have gotten the ball and free throws, and they're already up 8 points at the time. He doesn't call anything. They go back down the other way, and the same guy who undercut Dylan Mitchell hits a wide-open three because the Longhorns are playing 5-on-4.
Yeah, that would make me stop as a player.
Yeah. That was
when he hit the ground, I would stop as a player and say, hey, you know, I didn't intend to do that. It's a terrible foul where I got you, but I'm not gonna go down the court like I didn't know what just happened.
I'm assuming Crystal Conti and or Rodney Terry will send a note to the league office and ask about that, because it had to have at least been a common foul, and it wasn't. And then again, for them to get a 3-pointer because it's 4-on-5, still pretty outrageous. Longhorns, that's not the reason they lost the game, but it was a big swing moment in the basketball game because the Longhorns were up 8. If they call the foul there, who knows? You could end up with, you know, three, four more points on
absolutely.
That possession. Instead, they get the 3 and the lead is 5.
Don't lose to West Virginia. Don't lose to Huggy. Don't let that group get going.
You just want the officials to call it even, call it square. And then if you saw the second half last night, it just felt like every time the Longhorns needed a call, they weren't getting it. And that's life in the Big 12. I get it.
Yes, it is.
But if you've not seen the video, don't argue with it. Go watch the video and then tell me you're wrong, because even non-fans of the Longhorns would watch that and say, man, that seems like really bad
officiating. I just don't know how the dude would miss it. He's right there in the baseline with him.
He's staring at it. All right. Well, that was the Longhorn game last night. We've got a lot to do tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a Buck Off Thursday, so bring your vitriol tomorrow.
Bring your big cowboy buck ons tomorrow.
Or you could bring it with love.
Love.
Bring it with love.
Yeah, bring it with, that's right.
With the buck ons. Hey, Buck, enjoy your Wednesday afternoon.
Nap day.
Like
nap day, and I need a donut.
Ooh.
I'm feeling, I can eat 3, whatever. I need sugar donuts. I need glazed.
Are you going to be okay at home?
Well, no, my wife has Bible studies. She's gone.
So she can probably pull that off.
I can pull it off.
Enjoy your donuts. Yes. Ty, enjoy your you producing Light the Tower coming up?
I am.
All right. So that'll be coming next with Craig and Jeff and the rest of the Light the Tower crew. Also, Chad and Zay through the midday. Riding hard this afternoon with Ball Don't Lie. Have a great Wednesday. Every hour of this program, including our conversation with Jerry Hamilton podcast at hornfm.com.